Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with a Professor, and we really want to go in depth on a great game that's coming up, the best Rams-Seahawks game probably in a couple decades, one of the better games to ever, I mean, I guess almost you have to go back to the San Francisco-Seattle series to see one that's as big as this one as far as a division game. Seen great battles with Arizona, but now the Rams are up, and joining us is Nolan Cromwell, and Nolan's the perfect person to talk to. Long time Ram, had a great 11-year career for the Rams from 77 to 87. He has coached on the Rams staff, and he's also spent 8 years as a Seahawk wide receiver coach with the Mike Holmgren. So you have a great perspective on this game because you've seen it, you know, the development of things here in Seattle. You've seen all the stuff that has gone on with the Rams. And so let's get into it because this is going to be a fantastic game. Nolan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. This is an exciting time. You know, the NFL is getting down to the last three, four weeks, whatever, you know, we're there, and it's exciting for everybody.
Okay, let's first talk about the development of the Rams. How surprised are you that this team has gotten so good this quick?
I'm really actually shocked because they've always had the talent, but don't think everybody ever really bought in, you know, to what they're doing as a team. And I say that from the standpoint of the defense has always had great personnel. The offense has had some good people, but, you know, always a lot of changes in there. This McVay has come in and done a great job of bringing everybody together, making everybody feel it's a team game now. And all three aspects are producing for them, the special teams last week, offense, defense, you know, everything is clicking for them right now. So it's going to be good.
What is it about Sean McVay that makes him so special? Because I know I spent some time with him at the Combine and was really impressed. And then watching him coach in the sidelines, because I was able to, you know, watch how, you know, he gets down there. He almost goes to the line of scrimmage as close as he can to keep constant communication when it's legal with the headsets to make sure the quarterback knows everything that he could see and gets that over. And then, of course, at the 15-second mark, they cut it off. But this guy is intense. He's brilliant. And it looks like he's one of the best young coaches to come into the league in many, many years.
I agree with you, John. I think he is an exciting coach. But the thing that I just, and this is me observing from the side, that he doesn't have, I'm going to say, an ego. He is running the offense and being the head coach, you know, like Coach Holmgren was, you know. Coach Holmgren, you know, was in charge of everything on the field, and he ran it that way and was able to do it. He was very good at that. But John McVay, being the young guy and running the offense and doing everything offensively, he turns the game over when the defense is on the field to Fossil and the defensive coordinator,
Wade Phillips. Yeah.
He turns it over and says, you guys make the decisions. I'm getting prepared for the next series. So he's distributing a lot of the decision-making for the team. And, I mean, he's letting other people make key decisions at times, you know, when it's a snap decision to be made. So I think he has just done a great job of hiring his staff and putting together. But him personally, he's brought the excitement and the team. It's a we game. It's not a me game type of deal. So it is, and the players have bought in, and he's proven himself early in the season, and now everybody is really jumped on board and given, you know, their best efforts all the way through.
Well, you bring up the idea how he's delegated authority. The story was told to me when I was down for the Ram game in Los Angeles with Seattle that, you know, the first thing that he did, you know, he kind of met individually with all the people in all the offices, and he basically said, now listen, I'll do all the things that are necessary for me to do because that's my job, but I am, it's like, I want you to handle this. I want you to handle this. I've got to concentrate on the game plan. I've got to concentrate on the offense. And it's like everything else I'm going to delegate. And then I know what he told me was he purposely hired coaches that have more experiences and some head coaching experience and all that because he wants to learn from them and he'll take their advice. But the big thing is he's preparing for the next play, the next series, and it really has worked.
Yes, it has. And, you know, he's hired the guys that are older than him. There's about everybody.
Well, everybody's older than him. The players are older than him.
But his excitement and his energy that he brings and his preciseness as he talks to the team, and it's been so great that the team got started off quick and this season that he was able to show that we can win this way and do that, and that's all a team wants. Give me somebody that'll lead us. That we have confidence in, and we'll go with you.
In your 20 years of coaching, does he remind you of anybody? Is there a comparable to him? John Gruden's name has come to as one, but John has a more authoritarian type of persona to him. But I guess John Gruden is one comparable.
John would be probably the closest example of somebody that. That because Don was a student of the game, he prepared when he was at Green Bay to be a head coach. He was always looking at film, and I'd go by his office and I'd go in there and watch film with him, and he'd be watching the Miami Dolphins and Marino. He'd be watching the 49ers in Montana, and he'd be taking clips of film out, and this is in the off season and making film and tapes. Of every one of those people and looking at what made them great. And I see that in McVay, yes.
Well, in fact, in a very similar sense, I know one of the things that was noticeable as the season goes on is that he'll look closely at the opponents or the opponents coming up, just like I guess John would, but he would integrate maybe a play or two like that into his game plan if he thought it was something that was going to help his quarterback or help his offense. I mean, he would literally, study enough film that even as the season goes on, he's adding little things like that. I mean, I don't know if that's a little bit of a Mike Martz or it's a John Gruden, but it's certainly something that seems to be part of his coaching vernacular.
Well, I think there. I know John learned from Mike Holmes and the fact of what can the quarterback do, and what can he what plays does he operate the best, and they kind of not put the quarterback in a bad position. They want him to be exactly what to do on every play that is called, and. Dude, I thought we had some good plays in at times, and Mike wouldn't call him, and we'd ask him as a staff, say, hey, do you want this in? We've had it in for 3 weeks, and he says, I love the play, but the quarterback, there's a hesitation in the quarterback's read on what's going on, and we just need to keep working on it, and it was really interesting. He made sure that he didn't put the quarterback in a position that the quarterback didn't know what to do with the ball at every precise moment of the play.
From the personnel standpoint, what do you think was the biggest thing that they did? I mean, was it getting Andrew Whitworth at left tackle or adding three receivers, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, and, getting Cooper Kupp, who's been sensational as a rookie, adding those receivers? Because you go back last year, I mean, Tavon Austin was probably their best receiver, and now Tavon's more of a running back slash motion guy where they've added three. What was more important, the addition of wide receivers or Andrew Whitworth?
I think Andrew Woodworth is probably the key acquisition because, regardless of what who's playing quarterback or how the team operates, you've got to protect the quarterback and you've got to be able to give him time to make decisions. Last year, when they put him in the game, they didn't have an offensive line that could protect him, and he ended up. Was not successful. Adding the receivers, big, because they needed some playmakers. They needed guys that could catch the football. A lot of drops last year. But you know what, John? I think one key, and it's not what you mentioned, I think they're using Todd Gurley to the best of his ability and getting the ball in his hands either by the pass or by, run or, a screen or doing something a way of getting the ball into his hands. Todd Gurley is the difference, I think, because he's making plays, McVay is very creative on how to do that and getting the ball in his hands in the open field.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? Or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one? Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. All right, let's take it from the Seahawks standpoint because, again, as a coach, I mean, you were involved in getting this team to the Super Bowl back against the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you see as far as where the Seahawks right now are? Because, obviously, they've had a great run. They've had injuries right now. They still hope to continue a Super Bowl run. But where do you see the Seahawks right now as far as being a Super Bowl contender?
Well, they're battling the injuries, and that is the biggest thing that I see with the Seahawks. And the other thing is the offensive line. I don't think it's the offensive line that when they went to the two Super Bowls there in a row. I don't think it's the offensive line was that those teams. I think they're relying a little bit more on Russell Wilson to make plays for them, and they don't have the running game that is there, and that's because of the offensive line. So Russell Wilson is becoming more of a guy that's got to make the plays for them to be successful.
Yeah, and I guess the amazing part is, I mean, through the lack of the running game pretty much all season long, and I think even through his career when he's had the running game, regardless, I think there's only been maybe one game where it's been more than 8 points that they've lost. I mean, he's always able to be in a position in the fourth quarter to maybe have that one drive. Now, in a couple instances, it hasn't worked this year, but he has that ability to make that one drive to win the game. I mean, example being Sunday, you know, they get a 3-and-out against the Jaguars. Seahawks get the ball with about 2.5 minutes left. They start a drive, and then a couple unfortunate things happen, and it ends up, but he still had a chance to take that game and make it a 31-30 game. And he's already set the NFL record for fourth quarter touchdowns with 14, and he's got 17, and he's got 3 games left.
Right. No, I tell you what, Russell Wilson, the thing that he has, his mobility, and it used to drive me when I was playing, that a quarterback that could run and create a first down to keep the drive going. And Russell Wilson is a master at that. And he has done it his whole career. He gets outside the pocket. He's looking to throw. He's looking to throw, but all of a sudden he pulls it down, boom, gets a first down another set of downs to keep the drive going. He's got that ability and uses it. Yeah, and he's very smart at how he does that.
What are the similarities with Russell and Fran Tarkington?
I think Fran Tarkington, okay, he run around to throw. He just buy him more time to let his receivers work and get open. Fran was not looking to run. I think Russell Wilson comes out of there looking that if I've got some space and I can get a first down, I'm going to run for the first down rather than throw it. But they're both crafty at avoiding the rush, getting out of tight spaces and extending the play.
I mean, how tough are they to play against? I mean, you're out there as a safety. I mean, maybe you make a blitz occasionally to come in there. If not, you're out there as a line of defense to try to do it. It's like, well, how do those two kind of guys drive you crazy?
They drive you crazy because of their mobility. A play in the National Football League lasts, 5 seconds at the most, because you can make a decision, bam, and react and go make the tackle, do whatever you have to do. Here, there's a scrambling type of quarterback, Fran Tarkington. I've seen him extend the play 3 or 4 or 5 seconds longer, and all of a sudden people are running routes and they're changing their direction and you're scrambling and you lose all sense of what's going on in the game. And you're just grabbing the nearest receiver and covering him and hoping you're covering the right guy.
I mean, could Russell Wilson be better as he evolves than Fran? Because Fran was such a great quarterback.
You know, it's a different game, a different game. But, you know, heck, yeah, he could. He can be. But, boy, you're talking about one of the legends, I think, of the National Football League. And to be put in that category, I don't know if Russell's quite there yet.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, the one thing is he still has many years left in his career. He's still in his 20s, and so, you know, I guess it's full steam ahead. What type of game do you expect in this?
Oh, I think it's going to be a play, a game of big plays. I look for the quarterbacks to, because of the injuries and things like this, I don't know if everybody can sustain a drive for 10, 12, 14 plays and move it down the field and score a touchdown and be consistent at that. I think it's going to be a game where the big play is the one that makes it. And just like the game last time they played down in the Coliseum, they ended up starting the game. I think the Rams got a turnover. They go in to score, and I think Todd Gurley stuck the ball out, and I believe Earl Thomas come over and hit his arm before it crossed the end zone, and the ball went through. It's a touchback. The Seahawks got the ball, and they didn't score. So, you know, plays like that, just plays of hustle and on both sides, that's going to be the plays. And when I talk about big plays, those are the plays that are going to make the difference.
No, the one surprise, I think, from the Ram game Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm a big Wade Phillips guy. I mean, I've watched every – in fact, I mean, I go back into the late 70s when he first got into the league because I covered all those Pittsburgh-Houston Oiler games and just when he first got into coaching. And he has become the absolute best of going to a new team and establishing what he wants on defense in the first year. But the surprising part is the Eagles were able to run on his defense and teams have been able to run on the Rams' defense. I mean, that to me is a surprise.
Well, it is. It is a surprise. But you know what? They play hard. They play together. And you know what? When people are going down the field, they don't panic. And Wade doesn't panic. And his players feel that. And John, when you said you go back to the late 70s, heck, Wade Phillips coached me when I was in college at the University of Kansas.
Wow.
So it was awesome. But I think Wade is such a calm, collected guy on the sidelines that he says, hey, don't worry about it. They're gonna get some runs on us. They're gonna make some plays but we'll stop them and get it going.
Can you predict who might be able to win this game Sunday?
Oh, but I tell you what, it's so tough. It's so tough to do it. But you know, my heart says the Rams, of course,
right,
but since it's my old team. But in Seattle, and the rain, different things like that, it's going to be a tough game for the Rams to win.
Hey, Nolan, there was nobody to be able to talk better about this game, having been on both sides, being a Ram player, a Ram coach, a Seahawks coach, all that stuff. Thank you so much for sharing all this information.
You're welcome, John. Thank you so much.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.